tonight. And Carl read to you Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. I shared something from those scriptures a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night. And I've been thinking on those verses for some time. And just God's been doing a work in my heart. And in our pastor's meeting a couple weeks back, we talked about some things that have to do with what I'm going to speak on tonight. And then even in our staff meeting Monday night, Brother Calvin challenged our staff about soul winning, about reaching out, about visitation. And God's been working in my heart in this area. And so tonight I'm going to try to preach a message out of those passages of Scripture, some other passages of Scripture. Really, it's going to be kind of a topical message. And I don't know that I'm going to preach a whole lot. And those of you that know me think, what are you talking about? I most of the time I preach, but I think I'm going to teach some. I might preach some, but I'm got something God's working in my heart about, and I want to share it with you. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, we know the verses. Jesus, said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I want to read another passage of Scripture to you in John chapter 4. You can turn there if you'd like. But in John chapter number 4, in verse number 34, I'm going to read another passage. John 4, verse 34 says this, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then come harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. You see, throughout the Word of God, throughout the Scriptures, God uses this teaching. Jesus used it in his ministry. God used it in other scriptures in the Old Testament, the New Testament, all throughout the Word of God. The Bible uses the metaphor or the analogy of a laborer in a field, or a husbandman, or a sower going forth to sow, or I'm going to call it tonight a farmer. And the message I'm going to preach tonight is this, farming in God's fields. Farming in God's fields. You see, God's Word teaches that that's what we are, really. This is God's field that we're living in. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This is God's field that we're living in. And God has saved us, and God has called us to be laborers in his field, to be farmers in his field. And so that's what I want to speak to you tonight about, is being a farmer in God's fields. Jesus was using a concept and a language that these men and women could understand. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't understand a whole lot about farming. I didn't grow up on a farm. Let me ask this, how many folks in here grew up on a farm? Raise your hand. Wow, I knew that. I knew that there would be many in here that grew up on a farm, especially not you older ones, but you know, a little bit older ones, right? Grew up on a farm. And we live in an area that's got a lot of farms. And I didn't grow up on a farm, but I had a good friend as I was growing up that lived on a farm. Nathan's family, one of his cousins, is one of my best friends growing up. And I spent many summers and many weekends and much time on that farm. I know a little bit about farming, but not a lot. I got a couple guys in my youth group that farm. And so I've heard a little bit about farming. But I know this, there's something we can learn from the farmer that we can apply to the fields that God's got us in. Jesus was using a language, and as I said, a concept that these people would understand. In this day, just about everybody was a farmer in some way. They grew their food. They watched their flock. They had sheep. They had cattle. They had those things, and they did what we would call farming. So everybody understood when Jesus or when the prophets or whoever God sent started talking this language, the people could understand. And so I believe there's some things that we can learn from a farmer. God is looking for some farmers in his field. So let's see how we can be farmers in God's field, how we can be laborers in the Lord's harvest. I want us to take some things and see what we can learn from farming and how we can apply it to our lives and what God has us doing. Number one, I want us to see this. Farmers prepare. Farmers prepare. Anybody that's ever been around farming or knows any farmers know that a farmer has to prepare, right? Can I get a witness? Amen. Farmers prepare. They have to sharpen their tools. They have to fix their equipment. They have to, now in 2017, I almost said 16. In 2017, they have to change the oil, right? Praise God for John Deere and for Tractors International. I'm sorry. Praise God for the equipment that they have in these days. But there was a time they didn't have that equipment, right? And if they were going to farm, they had to prepare. And even today, our farmers have to prepare, right? John was just telling me last week how they were working on some equipment, and he was telling me he could fix up my vehicle. He said, I can take it out. I can put it back. I'll have some parts left over, and you can hold on to him. He said every time he fixes something on a tractor, he always has a box of parts left over. But so anyway, they're always working on stuff. They're always preparing. And as God's children, as God's laborers, as God's farmers in his field, we need to be preparing. We need to be preparing for the work that God has for us. You know, I mean, I'm not a farmer, I'm a painter, but I understand that the concept of preparing. You see, a failure to prepare is preparing to fail, right? I get that tonight, right? A failure to prepare is preparing to fail. We must prepare. I showed up on the job without the right tools, right? And my guys give me a hard time when I do that. Every single time. Well, the guy that works with me, he always tells me, first thing you do is make sure you have what you need to accomplish the job, right? And a good farmer knows they must prepare. Can I tell you, hey, if we're going to be the farmers that God desires for us to be, if we're going to be the laborers that God desires for us to be, we're going to have to prepare. We're going to have to sharpen the tools. We're going to have to fix the equipment. We're going to have to clear the fields. We're going to have to repair the fences. Right? See, God's got a field that he wants you to work. God's got a field that he wants you to labor in. God's got a field that he wants me to labor in. And in order to labor in that field effectively, then we must prepare. Tonight, what are we doing? We're preparing. Amen. That's what church is. I mean, we come to worship God. Yes, first and foremost, our desire tonight is to worship God. But in our worship, we're preparing to serve him. We're preparing to labor for him. We're preparing to work for him. And preparation is so important in the work that God has us doing. Church is preparation. Sunday school is preparation. Sunday night is preparation. Wednesday night is preparation. Impact conference is preparation. Bible quiz is good preparation. That's what it's all about. Everything that we do is all preparation for the work that God has for us to do. We need to be preparing for what God's called us to do. We need to be preparing. And a farmer knows that they must prepare. Number two, not only does a farmer prepare, but a farmer prays. A farmer prays. Now, as I said, some of you grew up on a farm, and I believe some of this is missing in our day. And I'm thankful. Don't take me wrong here. I'm thankful for Walmart. Can I get amen? Man, nobody else thankful for Walmart? Great day. I mean, I know it's a rough place and everything, but I'm thankful for it. Amen. I'm glad I can go buy vegetables, right? I'm glad I can go get some meat, right? I'm thankful for Walmart or Food Line or whatever you, wherever you go, Harris Teeter or whatever, wherever y'all go. Praise God for it. But see, there was a day when folks didn't have that luxury. If they were going to eat, God was going to send the increase. If they were going to have food on the table, if there was going to be fruit on the table, if there was going to be vegetables on the table, if there was going to be meat on the table, God was going to send it in. And they understood what it was to pray. And I'm afraid that in our day, and I could go, there's so much that I couldn't even touch the hem of the garment of what God's word says about this. But that's one of the problems I believe that we're seeing in our country today is an abundance of things. And I'm thankful for the abundance. But you know, if we're not careful, what'll happen is we'll get that abundance and we'll stop relying on God. We'll rely on Walmart. We'll rely on Food Line. We'll rely on the store to put food on our table when at the end of the day, the only reason there's any food in Walmart is because of God. But farmers, especially in this day, they understood what it was to pray. Oh yes, they understood what it was to prepare. They would get that equipment together. They would sharpen those plows and those axes and those whatever else they use. Amen. I probably should have got with one of the farmers in here before I preached this message. But they would get prepared for what they had to do. But at the end of the day, they knew, hey, if anything's going to come in, God's going to send the increase. Jesus said, pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. It's God's harvest. And if they were going to be blessed with fruit, if they were going to be blessed with abundance, it was going to come from God. So a farmer understood what it was to pray. A laborer, a worker in God's fields understands what it is to pray. I cannot emphasize enough tonight how important it is in the field that God has us to pray. I've been thinking about this all week this week, and this morning before we come to church, before Sunday school, when I was in my quiet place preparing my Sunday school lesson and thinking about tonight's message, I began to pray, and I just began to ask God, God, would you help God today to be fruitful? God, would you send people? God, would you work on hearts? God, would you save souls? God, would you bear fruit in people's lives? It's prayer, brethren. It's prayer. That's where the power's at. It's prayer. And the laborers in God's fields, the farmers in God's fields understood the importance of prayer. And we as God's children, and we as God's laborers, and we as God's farmers in his fields need to understand how important it is to pray. We need to be praying. I'm convinced that a part of my message tonight, I was trying to think at the beginning, you might have noticed how distracted I was because I had something I wanted to say. I believe what I'm going to be preaching tonight, we saw a little bit of the fruit of it this morning, Pastor. We saw a little bit of it this morning. See, God gives the increase. God says, I got a work for you to do. I got something, I got a labor I want you to do in my fields. And I'm going to send the increase. I'm going to take care of the rest, right? I'm getting ahead of myself. The farmer, he prepares. The farmer, he prays. The farmer, he plows. He plows. Can I tell you, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I can only imagine. I've seen pictures of it. You know, nowadays, people plow with tractors. People plow with I got a little tiller. Stacy Dotson, give me. That's what I plow with. And that thing's small. It's kind of tough plowing with that thing. But I can't imagine what it was like when they had them old big wood handles and they had to follow the oxen or the cattle or whatever they had. I've seen pictures of those men over in Israel and how that they would plow that ground and how they would walk behind those oxen. And I can only imagine how hard that work was, how many blisters were put on their hands and how much sweat was on their brow and just how tired they were at the end of the day. But they understood what it was to plow. And can I tell you, hey, we as God's laborers, we as God's farmers in his field need to know what it is to plow, to just dig in and to just work and to just sweat and to be willing to go the extra mile. To be willing to suffer a little pain, to be willing to put it all on the line, to be willing to go all in for the Lord's work. We need to know what it is to plow. It's important. I believe some of the growth we've seen at this church has been from a pastor and from a people that are willing to just plow. I mean, just grab a hold to the plow and go and work and toil and sweat and do whatever it takes and work for God. And those laborers, those farmers, they understood what it was to plow. And we, as farmers in God's field, need to know what it is to plow. We need to prepare and we need to pray, but we need to plow. We need to work. We need to just work as hard as we can for the Lord. The time is short. Jesus is coming. Work while it's day, the Bible says. We need to be going as hard as we can for God. Plowing. The Bible talks about plowing up that fallow ground. I think we need to do that in our own lives, in our own hearts. We need to get the Word of God in our hearts and plow up that soul and plow up that heart and allow God to speak and allow God to work in our lives. So that in turn, he can work in other people's lives. But it takes some hard work. So farmers know what it is to prepare. They prepare. They pray. Psalm 126, verse 6, the pastor mentioned a couple weeks ago. It says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Weeping. I believe he's praying. That sower's going forth and he's He's weeping. He's bearing precious seed. God, you're going to have to give the increase. God, you're going to have to make it grow. God, you're going to have to send in the fruit. God, it's going to take you. He's weeping. He's watering the seed with tears. And I believe as God's laborers in His field, we need to get back to praying and watering the seeds with our tears. The farmer knows what it is. He prepares. He prays. He plows. He prays. Right? I want to emphasize that. I believe every step of the way he's praying. He was probably praying before he started preparing. And then he prayed again. And then he plowed. And then he prayed again. He just keeps on praying. And then he plants. And that's what God's really been dealing with me about, is planting. The Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God. The incorruptible seed of the word of God. That's what we're laborers. We're farmers in God's fields. And we need to know what it is to plant. I was talking with the pastor in our pastor's meeting, and then we talked about it Monday night, and I've been talking to others about it. I spoke with our teenagers a couple Wednesday nights ago. You know, I'm afraid that sometimes folks get intimidated by the term soul winning. And I believe in soul winning. The Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. I'm not against soul winning. But I'm afraid sometimes people are intimidated by soul winning. You know what I want to see us do? What I want to see our young people do? I talked to them the other Wednesday night about it. I said, we're going to start up visiting in our youth group. We'll start going out and knocking on some doors and going to some areas. And I said, I don't want you to soul win as much as I want you to seed sow or sow seeds, right? I want you to plant some seeds. I want you to go forth and bear in precious seed. And the Bible says you should doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, you can turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, familiar verses of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. In verse number 5, Paul said this. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. And he said this, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, I'm not saying God hasn't called us to win souls, but really at the end of the day, if we win a soul, it's God. God gives the increase. See, sometimes I think we put too big of an emphasis on soul winning and people get intimidated and they don't want to be a part of it. Hey, God's not asking you to go out and win souls. What God's asking you to do and what God's asking me to do is go out and plant seeds. Go out and plant seeds. And I can't emphasize tonight enough. This is the message tonight. God wants us sowing seeds, brethren. This world needs the seed of the Word of God, the incorruptible seed. The Word of God, they need it, and we have it. And God said, hey, you need to sow it. You need to go forth, and you need to share it, and you need to get it out and let people know that there's a God in heaven, that He loves them, that Jesus died for them, and that if they'll ask Him, He will save them. The seed of the Word of God, we need to be sowing it. We need to be planting it. We need to be sharing it. We need to be bearing it. We need to be taking it to this world, the field that God's got us in. I don't know what your field is. Your field might be Culpeper. Your field might be Madison. Your field might be Rutgersville, Charlottesville, wherever it may be. Whatever field God's got you in, you ought to be planting some seeds. You ought to be sowing some seeds. You ought to be sharing the gospel. I believe with all of my heart, and I do, I believe this. There's nobody in this building that can convince me otherwise. We had how many first-time visitors this morning? Do you know, Pastor? Yeah, we had many first-time visitors this morning, and that's what I was talking about. I believe with all of my heart that was God saying, you sow, I'll increase. We had, I don't know, 12 people maybe yesterday, roughly, here at the church at 11 o'clock. went out into the community. Some went, made visits, knocked on doors around those houses where they made a visit. Some went into communities. Brother Brandon, Marcus, and Scott just went into, they went up to Rutgersville and invaded the strip mall. Walked in Vinny's, they walked in. If you've seen Brother Brandon walk in Marty's wine cellar yesterday, it was to give the man a gospel track, okay? Hey man, if anybody's seen that, I know how things spread. I'm from Greene County, okay? I know how things get out in Greene County. Brother Brandon walked in there because there was a man standing at the counter and he gave him a gospel track, amen? Somebody's got to go to him. Somebody's got to reach him. He had two witnesses with him, okay? If he'd have been by himself, he shouldn't have done that, but he had two young men with him. But hey, they went into the community and they sowed some seeds. They went out there and they gave out gospel tracts. And some people were rude. I believe that man was. But I hope nobody's listening. This is on record. But some people were rude. Some people said no thank you. Some people turned up their eyes and turned away their head. But some took the tract. But the bottom line was this. They sowed the seed. They did what God had told them to do. And God said, hey, I'll give the increase. You sow the seed, somebody else water it, and I'll give the increase. And I've seen it time and time again. When you go out, when you visit, when you knock doors, our bus workers could testify to it. You go out and you knock new doors and you knock new doors and you sow seeds and you sow seeds and you don't get anybody that says they're going to come the next day, and you get on your bus and somebody brings a friend with them. That's how God works. It's not up to us to make the fruit grow. It's not up to us to gather in the harvest. God is going to give the fruit. God's going to give the harvest. God's going to give the increase. God just wants us to sow the seed. And I just believe with all of my heart, if we would go out into this community, if we would walk outside of these doors and we would get busy sowing seeds, God would give the increase. The Bible says in Galatians, let's turn there, Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6, the Bible says this in Galatians 6. The Bible says in verse number 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then I want you to see this principle that's taught about sowing and reaping. Verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God says, you just keep on sowing, and you just keep on waiting, and God says, I'm going to give an increase. So I said, number one, I said that a farmer prepares, a farmer prays, a farmer plows, a farmer plants, a farmer's patient. Sometimes you just got to wait. Amen. John's giving me my okay. You keep on giving my okay. If I say something that farmers don't do, yeah, he's giving my okay. Sometimes you just got to wait. You do your part. You plant, you work, you toil the ground, you plow the fields, you get the equipment, you do everything you got to do, you start praying, you start planting, and then you have to just be patient and wait. And can I tell you, brethren, sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to wait. I've been waiting for 11 years. I've been planting seeds. I've been praying, and I've been patient. And I hope God gives the increase in my dad's life, Brother Calvin. That's what it takes. Just keep on praying. Just keep on planting. Just keep on plowing. Just keep on working. Just keep on preparing. Just keep on going. And one day, God is going to give the increase. It's a promise. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. He's going to come with his sheaves. In verse number, in Galatians 6, 9, it says, and let us not be weary and well-doing, for in due season we shall. That's a promise from the word of God. We shall reap if we faint not. So just keep on planting. Keep on throwing the seed, giving out the tracts, sharing the gospel, reaching out to people. You say, Brother David, it's not working. You just got to be patient. Just got to be patient. Paul said, I planted. Apollos watered. Maybe somebody else is going to come along. They're going to water that seed. And then in the end, God is going to give the increase. So a farmer plants. A farmer is patient. Number 6, and I put this in here. A farmer prunes, right? Turn to John chapter 15. A farmer prunes. I don't know a whole lot about pruning, but I know this. I tried to grow a garden 1 year, 2 years, and I think pruning's a little bit like weeding, and I didn't do very good. I had weeds taller than my tomato plants, right? I didn't prune my garden. You had to go out there and dig to find cucumbers. I mean, I had weeds in my garden, right? I didn't do my job pruning. But hey, God wants us to learn that in this field He has us laboring in, this field He has us working in, there's got to be some pruning. There's going to be some time where we're going to have to cut some things off. We're going to have to pull some weeds out. If we're going to be fruitful, and we could take this message. I thought about how to take this message, and I want you to take it however God gives it to you. This could be in the ministry God's given you, in the bus ministry, in your Sunday school class, in the youth ministry. It could be as a church and whole. It could be in our outreach into the community. But whatever field, whatever area God has you working in, it takes these things. It takes preparation. It takes prayer. It takes plowing. It takes hard work. It takes planning. It takes patience. And it takes pruning. Sometimes you just got to come along and say, hey, that's got to go. That's not working. I need to get that out of there. I need to get this away from there. And I think in our own lives, we need to do that sometimes. We need to prune our lives. There's some things in my life that probably need to be removed. Right? Brother Brandon preached the other Wednesday night about setting aside every sin, every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. Pruning that thing, getting it out of your life. Whatever it is that's stopping you from being the laborer that God wants you to be. Hey, you need to get it out. I need to get it out. If there's something that's coming between us and the work that God wants us to do, then we need to remove it. Nothing's more important than this work. Nothing. Nothing. The Bible says set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. When it's all said and done, brethren, all that's going to matter is what fruit we have in our hands for the King. It's not going to matter how much money you got in your bank. It's not going to matter what community you live in, what kind of car you drive, how many friends you got on Facebook, how many followers you got on Twitter. It's not, none of those things are going to matter. In the end, what's going to matter is what we have to put at His feet. And we need to get serious about it. We need to be patient. We need to be planting. We need to be plowing. We need to be praying. We need to be preparing. We need to be working in the fields that God has us. And if we'll do those things, and we need to be pruning. We need to be constantly removing the things that are hindering the growth in our lives and the growth in others' lives. Now, it's not our responsibility. Now, I almost didn't put this point in here because I thought, sure enough, somebody's going to say, well, Brother David said that God wants me to be a farmer in his field, and I know that Brother Brandon's got something in his life that needs to be taken out, and I'm going to go over and cut it off of him. That's not your ministry. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 15, I think I told you to turn there. John chapter 15 says, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. We're laborers. It's His field, right? I said farming. We're really farm hands, right? It's God's field. We're just working in them. We're just laboring for Him. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He removes the things that are hindering that plant from growing. That's the Holy Spirit of God's job. It's not our job to find out what's stopping everybody else from growing and go remove it. Now, don't get me wrong. Hey, God might use us to help somebody remove something. God might use us to go to a brother and say, hey, I want to help you, brother. I want to disciple you. I want to see you bear fruit in your life. I thank God for people the pastor was talking about, and we're going to hear more about it. The pastor's talking about discipleship a lot lately, and I almost spoke up. I believe it was in our pastors and deacons meeting the other morning. I thank God for the men that discipled me. Brother Calvin and our pastor discipled me. When I got saved, I was a mess. Some of you think, you're still a mess, Brother Dave. I mean, I was a mess. And I thank God that God put some laborers in the field that understood what it was to help someone grow, to help a man bear fruit. And they helped me. They discipled me. They told me, this not good. You need to get this out of your life. You need to put this in your life. You need to start doing this. You need to stop doing this. You need to start going here. You need to stop going there. They discipled me. They helped me. They pruned. They worked in the field. And God brought forth fruit in my life. Fruit that remains. It's important. We're laborers in God's field. And a laborer, a farmer prunes. Number seven. I said a farmer prepares. He prays. He plows. He plants. He's patient. He prunes. And then this is the good part. He possesses. He possesses. I already read the scripture to you in Galatians. He said, he shall in due season, he shall reap if he faint not. Psalm 126 verse 6, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. John chapter 4, we opened up talking about John chapter 4 and verse 35 and 38. Jesus said, look out on the fields, they're white unto harvest. He said, you're going to reap on another man's labors, right? He said, you're about to reap a harvest on another man's labors. And it was really Jesus's labors. He had given that woman at the well, he had given her a drink of water that he told her, you'll never thirst again. And she went to the city and she told all these people, she said, hey, let me tell you about a man that told me all things, a man that gave me some living water. Let me tell you about him. Better yet, let me take you to him. And she come running back, and it says almost the whole city come with her. And there was Jesus's disciples standing there. And Jesus said, hey, fellas, you're about to reap on somebody else's labor, right? You're about to possess something that you didn't even work for. And every now and then, God will do that. Every now and then, God will just give us a little handful of purpose. Every now and then we'll knock on a door and meet somebody we've never met before in our life, and we'll share the gospel with them, and they'll just break down in tears and they'll say, oh, my grandma's been praying for me, my brother's been talking to me, and this one's been doing this and this one's been doing that, and oh, I want to get saved. And they'll pray and they'll ask the Lord to save them, and we'll be reaping the benefits of somebody else's labor. I hope somebody reaps the benefits of my labor in some of my family members' lives. I've been praying for Trevor Coleman. Years, Brother Tracy. Ever since your girl's been in youth group, we've been praying for Trevor. And I'm just praying that we're praying, and somebody's planting and somebody's watering, and God's going to give the increase. That's how it works, brethren. We're workers in God's fields. And we need to understand what it is to prepare. We need to understand what it is to pray. We need to understand what it is to plow. We need to understand what it is to plant. We need to understand what it is to be patient. We need to understand what it is to prune. And then if we do all those things, I promise you upon the authority of the Word of God, we will possess a harvest. God's going to send forth fruit. Fruit that will remain. And as I said, you can apply this in many ways. I think about the souls, but not just that, the fruit in our lives that God gives us. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering. Some of you Bible quizzes are saying, Brother Dave, you just left one out. Amen. Hey, God will give some fruit in our lives if we'll just keep on doing His work. So we'll possess. And then last, and this is my last point, y'all had no clue I could get done this fast. Not only does he possess, but then he praises. Turn to Psalm 126. Our pastor's been going there here recently. He's been to this verse a couple times recently. And I want you to see this in Psalm 126. Psalm 126, verse 5 says this. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Brethren, if we will stay busy doing these things, there's going to be a time where we start praising. I think of those farmers back in that day, and even farmers in our day. But I think of farmers back in that day. They would work and work. And I mean, the area that in there, the pastor was talking about that area this morning when he was speaking about the sheep, the rocky land, the dusty fields. I mean, it wasn't an easy ground to work, but those men would work those fields. And they'd pray. They'd plow. They'd plant. They'd be patient. They'd prune. And then all of a sudden, God would send in the increase. And man, would they praise. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for putting food on my table. Thank you, God, for taking care of my family. Thank you, God, for meeting my needs. And can I tell you, brethren, hey, if we will get busy working in God's fields, there's going to come a time where we're just going to praise Him. We're just going to thank Him. We're just going to fall down and worship Him for the increase that He sends in our lives. There's nothing better. There's nothing better outside of getting saved yourself as seeing someone else saved. Nothing better in all the world to know that I had a part in something eternal. Something that's going to last forever. God used me. God allowed me to plant that seed. God allowed me to water that seed. God allowed me to reap that harvest. God allowed me to be a part of the greatest work that's ever been done, and that's the work of God. The kingdom of God. And God sent the increase, and there's nothing better than that. There's nothing better, there's no greater feeling in all the world than to know that God used me to snatch a soul from hell. God used me to change a person's life. God used me to help someone have a home in heaven for eternity. I had a part in it. Brethren, we can have a part in it. And we should have a part in it. And I'm just here to challenge you tonight and to challenge me. God's been speaking to me. Hey, let's not can we, should we? Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go into this community as a church and let's view this community outside of these walls as a field. And let's go out into that field and let's pray and let's prepare and let's plow and let's plant and let's prune and let's do all these things. Let's be patient and let's possess, and then we'll just praise God for what He's done. We've seen a little bit of it here so far, but we can see so much more, brethren. We can see so much more if we would get busy. I just believe God. I believe this morning, there's no doubt in my mind, Pastor, God was just trying to show us, if you'll be faithful, if you'll go out, if you'll knock doors, if you'll plant seeds, I will give the increase. Brother Brandon then walked into those places yesterday in that strip mall, handing out gospel tracts. I don't know how many they handed out. Everybody they walked past, they just said, "Hey, I'd like to give you something. I want to tell you about somebody that changed my life. He can change your life." They went out into the community and they planted seeds. And this morning there was a man sitting back there, and I walked up to him and I said, "How are you doing, sir? I don't think I've ever seen you here before." He said, "Nah." I said, "Are you new to the area?" He said, "Well, we've been in the area some time." I said, "How did you find out about the church?" He said, "The internet." He thinks it was the internet. It was God. And it was God used the internet, right? But it was God giving the increase. And God's done it time and time again, and God will continue to do it. If we'll just be faithful and if we'll sow seeds, God will give the increase. The more seeds we sow, the more increase we get, right? I'm not a farmer. Is that how it works? I mean, yeah, most of the time. Yeah. I guarantee you this, you're not going to get an increase if you don't sow no seeds. And the more seeds you sow, the better chance you got of an increase. So let's just go out and sow seeds. Let's go into this community and share the gospel. Let's go to work tomorrow. I pray to God somebody will walk out this place tonight and go to 7-Eleven, go to McDonald's, go to Walmart, go to wherever you go on a Sunday night after church, and you share the gospel. You plant the seed. You sow the seed, and you allow God to give the increase. You pray, and you be patient, and eventually we'll possess. If we'll all get busy, if we'll all do our part, if we'll all just begin sowing seeds, God's going to give the increase. Go to work tomorrow and sow some seeds. Go to school tomorrow, young people, and sow some seeds. Everywhere we go, we ought to be sowing seeds. I love when I go into a place and I give them a gospel tract, or up here at McDonald's. I don't know how many times this happened to me at McDonald's in Madison. I'll pull up to the window and get my kids some chicken nuggets because I don't eat that garbage. But anyway, no, I'm just joking every now and then. Those french fries are actually kind of heavenly, I think. Right? I mean, them things is like dessert, man, especially if you don't eat them very often. They will melt in your mouth, right? Manna. Maybe. Anyway. I don't even know what I was talking about, Brother Troy. I just seen a big French fry, right? My golden hot, dripping with grease, man. I can't think of nothing but a French fry right now. I go to McDonald's sometimes here in Madison. I pull up to the window and I say, I'd like to give you something. I'd like to give you an invitation to a church, and on the back of there to tell you the Bible way to go to heaven. And she's like, oh, you've already given me one of these, and I know good and well I ain't never given her one. That means somebody else did. I love that. I love when I go through Walmart and they say, oh, a lady just the other day gave me one of these, but I'll keep it anyway. Seed sowing. Seed sowing. Hey, there's a big field out there. And Jesus said, hey, it's white already to harvest. It's ready. We just need to go forth. How awful would it be? How awful would it be? I know I'm getting a little over my head here. I haven't done my research, but I just know this. I've heard it said before. Nothing worse for a farmer than to have the crop laying in the field. They got to get that stuff up. They got to get it up. They can't let it lay out there and rot. Brethren, can I tell you there's crop laying in the fields everywhere. And it's our job. We got to go out there and collect it. We got to go reap the harvest. We got to go reach the people. We got to go labor in the fields. I don't want none of the crop. I don't want none of the fruit to rot on my account. We got to go forth and do our job and farm in God's fields. I believe that's all I got tonight. Amen. Let's be farmers in God's fields. Let's go out and sow seeds. I pray to God that when we start having some of these outreaches here at the church, that you'll come out and you'll get involved. As I said, I think people are intimidated by the word soul winning. Hey, we don't want you to go soul winning. We want you to go seed sowing. Amen. You go give somebody the gospel. You go give somebody a track. You let God give the increase. Now, if you get the opportunity, hey, lead them to Christ. But if all you do is hand them a gospel track, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I believe in gospel tracts. I can tell you this, and I'll finish with this. 2005. My life was a mess. I mean, an absolute mess. I was living with my brother, basically out of my truck, didn't have much, just sin had taken me where it takes everybody. And God was working in my life. Now I look back and there's no question about it. I know it was the hand of God drawing me and working on me, but a lady gave me a gospel track. And I took that thing. I can still remember it today. I can almost see that gospel track in my mind, Pastor. Pentecostal lady. But it was a gospel track. It was God's simple plan of salvation. Had a little. It was a white, cheap piece of paper, and it had a little maroon cross on it. Looked like it was printed locally. And I took that gospel track, and I read that thing. And I read that thing. And I read that thing. And I held on to that thing. And a couple weeks later, or a week later or so, I don't know, I was riding around with a friend one night, late night, up to no good. But that word, that seed, then got in my heart. And it was working. And I told my friend, I said, man, I pulled it out. I'm in the middle of the night. I said, this lady gave me this thing. I didn't know it was a track at the time. I said, this lady gave me this pamphlet or piece of paper. I said, I've been reading it. I said, man, there's something more to life than what we're doing. So I don't know, man. I've been reading this thing, and I don't know. And he grew up a little bit in church, so he went into a Sunday school lesson. Yeah, you ever had one of those Sunday school lessons before? Yeah, y'all laugh because y'all been there, right? That cousin or that friend that couldn't find John 3:16 in the Bible, but they gonna give you a Sunday school lesson, right? That's exactly what it was. So he went into giving me a Sunday school lesson, and he wasn't about three words in that Sunday school lesson. I was thinking, this piece of paper knows more than you know. But anyway, I remember so clearly. I talked to him. He talked about that. Went on home. I woke up the next day, and I was trying to remember what went on and what happened. And I remembered that track. And I was like, where is that thing? where's that piece of paper? And I got up and I fumbled around. I looked through stuff. I found the pants that I had on. I dug in the pockets. I found the coat I was wearing. I dug in the pockets. I mean, I went everywhere. I went out to my vehicle. I was digging through it. I mean, frantically, man. I mean, God was dealing with me. I was under conviction. And I was searching. I was trying to find that seed. I couldn't find it. And I thought, man, I pulled it out in his vehicle last night. This is no lie. I'm telling you the truth now. I got in my vehicle and I rode down to his house. And it was midday and his car was sitting there and it was locked. And I walked over and I could see it between the emergency brake and the passenger seat, that little piece of paper. And I ain't gonna lie to you. Some of you have heard this before, especially our teenagers. I looked around and I saw a big old rock laying over there on the side of the driveway. I'm dead serious now. I considered busting the wind out of that car to get that piece of paper. I mean, it had gotten my heart, man. I knew that thing had, that had the answer. Man, what I was searching for. That piece of paper right there had all the answers to all my problems. I didn't bust that wind out. Glad I didn't now. But I went home. That was on a Saturday morning. I went home, and the following day was Sunday, and a friend of mine, I mean, I can't go into all of it, but a friend of mine had been telling me, you got to go hear this guy preach on Sunday nights, you know, down at this church in Rutgersville. He, you know, he's crazy like you are. No, he come from a background similar to yours. They said, you need to go hear this guy preach. And then my brother, come to find out, was working for this guy. And my brother used to tell me, man, this guy I'm working for is crazy, man. He expects me to shave. My brother, you know, he done things he shouldn't have done. He'd be brushing his teeth. And I'd be like, what are you doing, man? This guy's going to smell my breath. I mean, this guy's serious, man. And this is no lie. My brother used to come home. It's amazing how God works. My brother, I was living with my brother at the time. My brother used to come home and lay these gospel tracts on the counter at his house. At the time, I had no clue. I'd never met the pastor before in my life. I didn't know nothing. And I'd be like, what is that? And I never even pick him up and read him. I say, what is that? And he said, man, it's something this guy worked. My manager, that crazy guy, my manager keeps giving them to me. And I had no clue at the time. But anyway, that Sunday night, I walked into Bethel Baptist Church on a Sunday night, lost as I could be. And I sat in the back row. I walked in after the service had started. I slipped in the back door and sat on the back row. Church was full. Brother Calvin was up in the... Where is Brother Calvin? Where you at, Brother Calvin? Why don't I see him? Oh, he slipped out. Great day. I done called him out. Brother Calvin... No. Brother Calvin was up in the choir loft. And the place was packed. Brother John was there. Some of the people here was here. I sat on the back row. And the pastor preached. And at the end of the message, I raised my hand. And they asked me if I'd like to talk with a man about going to heaven. I looked at the pastor. I said I would. I went out. I walked out the sanctuary, down the steps into a Sunday school classroom. A man. I still remember him. I seen him in Benny's a couple weeks ago, Pastor. Didn't I, Meredith? I went up to him and cried right at his table. I said, I'm so sorry, Jesse. I didn't answer that call that night. But I'm so thankful that you shared the gospel with me. He took the Bible and he showed me how I was a sinner and that God loved me and that if I trust him, he'd save me. And I wasn't ready, man. I said, can I go out that door right there? He said, it's free country. You can do whatever you want to do. But why would you do that? You come to get saved. And I said, man, I'm not ready. I want to go out that door if I can. And he said, you can do whatever you want to do. And I walked out of that door. I'm going somewhere with this story. I walked out of that door lost. I got in my vehicle and I drove home lost. And I was just tore to pieces. You know, if you've been there under Holy Ghost conviction. And I thought, what in the world is going on? My mom called me. She said, what'd you think about church? I said, I ain't never going back to that place. And I was serious. And I said, I'm never going back to that place. And I got to my brother's house and I was sitting in the driveway just thinking, what in the world is going on? And my phone rang. And I won't even go into all the story of how Brother Calvin got my phone number. God had worked it and put my phone number in his phone. There's no question in my mind. Brother Calvin called me and said, I seen you at church tonight. He said, "You mind if I come by and talk to you?" And I said, "No, that'd be all right. I'm at my brother's house." And so he come over, he picked me up, took me up to Pick and Pack up there in Queen Quay, right there at Ryan's funeral home. We sat in the parking lot, and he took the Bible. He showed me from the Word of God that I was a sinner and that Jesus had died for my sins, and that if I would repent, if I'd trust him, he'd save me. And I prayed and I asked Jesus to save me that night, October 16, 2005, and it was the greatest day of my life. Never been the same, brethren. God changed my life. God give me a good family. God's given me beautiful children. God's given me fruit. God's just blessed me over and over again. God's been so good to me. And you want to know why and where it all started? Somebody sowed a seed. You don't know what that gospel track is going to do. You don't know when David Oliver's the person that's going to take that gospel track from you. And God's going to have them ready to bust a window out to get it. I'm serious. That word is powerful. The Bible says the word of God is quick and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. That thing done cut through me, got deep into my heart, tore up that fallow ground. It worked that fallow ground up so that seed could get in. And that seed got watered. And then God gave the increase. So I tell you, I say all that to say this, brother. Sow seeds. Sow seeds. Somebody's life's counting on it. You never know. You never know. I'm so thankful. I hadn't seen that lady in years. But I'll tell you this. If I see that lady, you better believe I'm going to thank her. I've thanked Brother Calvin time and time again. I thank that guy, Jesse Joyner, that tried to lead me to the Lord that night. I thanked our pastor. I'm so thankful for the people that God used to plant seeds and to water those seeds and to work that land, that God would bring increase into my life. And can I tell you, you never know who that person that you're sowing that seed on, it could change their life forever. I mean, goodness, do you know where I would be tonight if someone hadn't shared the gospel with me? Goodness, we went down to that funeral a couple weeks ago. God's just been dealing with me about this. I've been seeing my family a lot lately. I had a cousin kill himself, and then my dad being in the shape he's in. I've been seeing my family a lot lately. And when I see them, it reminds me, man, God did a work in your life. And it all started because somebody sowed a seed. Let's be farmers in God's fields. Let's pray.